This morning we'll receive light in your life, insight in your insight, joy in the joy you give. And we live here better than we came in. We live here edified, better in your name. We live here more equipped for the work of ministry and that which you have called us to do in your name. Everyone here this morning receives clarity, precision, no error, hallelujah, no error. What we have is clarity, precision, accuracy by your spirit and in your spirit. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Let's pick it up from where we stopped last week. We started discussing the gospel according to Jesus. Informative and necessary for the church today. The gospel according to Jesus. Can we say together? The gospel? Can we say together? The gospel? According to Jesus. Alright, 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ. Is that what's in your Bible? And so it says, it's able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ. Then verse 16 says, all Scriptures being by inspiration of God, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. Now, what's the background of this story? In verse 1, look at verse 1, he begins to teach Timothy, and he says, know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers. Not icebreaker, truth breakers. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, they be traitors, edgy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Verse 5 says, they will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, what do? You turn away. For these are such which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so with these men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth, but they shall proceed no further, for their foolish shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. So he begins to talk about perilous times, that there will be people who will deceive the people of God. There will be people who will creep in. By saying creep in, it means there will be a need for discernment. That means it won't be sudden. It won't be sudden. It will be noticeable. That means those who will be high-minded, proud, haughty, traitors, what else is there? Without natural affection, boastful. You know, all of those, it won't come in suddenly. Just they will creep in into houses and they will deceive. They will deceive. Then he now gives an example from the Old Testament. He mentions Jannes and Jambres. Yeah. Jannes and Jambres, find a story in Exodus 7:11 to Exodus 9:11. Now, who are those? Who is Jannes and Jambres? Remember the word of Aaron? Huh? When the Lord told Moses that what will happen, that Aaron will cast down his rod and it will come to what? You read the book of Arabic story. It will come to what? It will come to what? Ocean. It will come to a serpent, right? A snake. And truly Aaron threw me down and it comes to a snake. And Pharaoh was like, what is this? You know? Whether it's a snake or anything, there are guys that can do that. So they can do their own signs and wonders. I call it shines. The shines and wonders. No, it's intentional, not. There are some signs and there are no signs, there are shines. Like miracle money. That's a shines and wonder. Hallelujah. Alright, so they threw their own words down. Now, the head of those people is the person you call Jannes and Jambres. That makes sense? And so you find that story from Exodus 7 to Exodus 9. Alright, so He says, just as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. What did they withstand about Moses? The truth of God. Right? That is, let my people go. So they withstood Moses, they resisted Moses. In our sense, this same, that's the same way it will be for these people. Reprobate in their mind. Strong word. When you say reprobate, reprobate means they are disqualified concerning the faith. It says concerning the faith, they are reprobate. We find the same word in Romans 1:28, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Reprobate. Reprobate means you have been disqualified. And so, it brings in a vital truth. We are going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Now there is verse 9, they will proceed no further, but their foolish shall be manifest unto men, as theirs also, their free, rather. Verse 10 says, but you, Timothy, you are fully known what? Can we read verse 10 together once ago? But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, charity, patience, alright? Look at, now read verse 14, once ago. But continue the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom I have learned them, and that from the child. So, in our case, there are people who will be proud, boastful, traitors. In our case, but you, Timothy, continue the things that you have learned and you have been assured of, knowing of whom, that is Paul, whom you have learned them. In our case, from the child. Spiritual infancy, not physical. Therefore, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Holy Scriptures will be the Old Testament. Because, after the time Paul was writing this, of course, there was no 2 Timothy. He was just writing it, right? So that means he'll be talking about Genesis to Malachi. That makes sense? That makes sense? Come on, I want you to follow me this morning. That makes sense? And so he says, you have known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ. And he says, all Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. By implication, Genesis to Revelation. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. It's God's breath. And it is profitable, it is useful for teaching. That word doctrine there is actually the word teaching. To teach, to explain. Thank you, Jesus. So, it says, the scriptures are profitable for explanation. That the man of God, verse 17, may be perfect, truly following the glory. Now, he now continues. Now, don't separate chapter 3 from chapter 4. He now continues by, in chapter 4, as well, says, I now charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, because in the Lord, who shall what? What will he do? Come on, what will he do? He will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, what we call the rapture. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. So Paul says, the scripture is profitable for explanation. Explanation of what? Salvation, right? Because mention salvation in verse 15. Alright. So he says, all scripture is profitable for explanation of salvation. Then he now says, preach the word. So what will be the word? Salvation. That is, the explanation of salvation will not be the word. That is, preach the word. For how long? Yes? In season and out of season. So we preach it every time. Now, will people always want to hear the word? Verse 4. Can we verse it together? Let's verse 3. Once you go, verse 3 to 4. For the time will come when they will not endure. What will be sound doctrine here? What will be sound doctrine? The explanation of salvation, right? The explanation of the gospel. That is, there will be a time. Men will no longer endure sound doctrine. But the word, but after their own love, they will heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and turn unto fables. So, people will always want to hear. That's why we tell you to endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. And so, whether you preach the truth, let me say, don't know whether. If you preach the truth, don't always think people will always want to hear. Many Christians today, you know what I'm saying, many, a whole lot, I don't know the percentage, so let me assume, have watered down the gospel. In the sense that, all you want to hear is, oh, he has forgiven me all my sins, he sent the Holy Ghost to me. But the moment he asks you that, the same person that forgave your sins also asks you to preach.
Did he?
But you want to hear that you are forgiving your sins. Or you want to hear that you can meet your needs. You know? That God will supply all your needs according to his riches. Philippians 4:19. You want to hear all of that. But you don't want to hear that what? He has asked you to carry your cross. You see, he says there will be a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. And that is sound doctrine. And so you don't bother what, don't water down the message. There's a tendency that because men are not enduring and men are not hearing, you now want to step down. Oh, maybe if I don't tell them that there's a cross to carry, if I don't tell them that there's something to do, maybe at least they will first come to church. The gospel, the message of salvation is not invitation to church. The message of salvation is raising disciples for the Lord. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So the message of salvation is not invitation to church. You're not coming to church. A whole lot of people will just come to church. And at the end, you will find out that you never serve the Lord. Like Brother Hagin said, you never even walked in the first step of God's plan for your life. And so you need to ask yourself, did I actually receive the gospel? Because we will see the way Jesus preached the gospel. It's not a gist. It's not a gist of no lordship. The gospel is not lollipop. It's not something you just lick and just shout glory. There is a responsibility in the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, don't water down the message. Don't step it down. Preach with that gospel. Preach with that energy. Snatch men from the kingdom of darkness. You know, a man that is in a sinking ship does not need tranquilizer. No tranquilizer. Sleeping drone. You know? You see, just rest. Just. It doesn't mean your smile. You say, oh, you are sinking. It doesn't mean your smile. What you need is urgent help. What you need is you. It's your grief. And so you don't want to tell the message for someone who is sitting in the world. Just come to Christ first. After coming to Christ, we will now introduce you. No. The gospel is the message of the lordship of Christ. The gospel is the message of the lordship of Christ. Hallelujah. So you preach it. Now, look at what Timothy Paul said. He says, a time will come, to the 4 verse 3, when men will no longer endure sound doctrine. Endure, that's the word. It means, listen, sound doctrine has to be endured. Any doctrine that massages your ego and strokes your head can as well be poisonous. I mean, every time you come to church, the only thing you hear is, oh, I can. No. Even Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You don't take away that Christ factor. Don't take away his lordship from everything you have in the faith. No, this is just go to church. And everything, yes. 5 ways to become a success. 5 ways to serve your boss. Number 1. Think it. If you can think it, you can be it. Just come. Number 2. Believe it. That I don't believe it before. But believe it. Whatever you believe. If only you can believe it. Number 3. Let us see it. God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see. What can you see this morning? What are you seeing this morning? Don't go and take this one and come. He says, Isaac has been please. No. Don't bring there and say, I got some revelation from church. That's not your revelation. Number 4. What else can you do to be in service? Eh? You have a vision. Where there's no vision, there's mission, provision. Just bring me a whole lot of lines and make nonsense together. Then number 5, do it. Thinking, vision, everything without action. Is in action. There must be proaction. So just keep quiet. Which of the apostles thought like that? Which of the epistles did you find out that from? Not Jesus, not even Judas Iscariot. Talk like that. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. Hallelujah. And so, sound doctrine has become what has to be endured. It means sometimes it's not what you want to hear. You come into church, what you want to hear is how I can pay my rent. But then the pastor just comes and he says, do you know there are nations to reach for the gospel? I say, what's this one say? My rent. I just want to pray in my car. Do you know that we're going to pray? We're going to pray through this morning. We're going to pray for missionaries. I said I want to pay my school fees, you know. But you endure. Because the gospel is not about your needs. The gospel is not about your needs. It's a pity that what we have in a generation like this, I'm part of this generation, I'm not speaking myself, I'm too young to see myself from this generation. You know, all we have in a generation like this is actually men that don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to. What they want to hear is someone that will come and massage their back, just pat their back like this. Okay? Oh, don't worry, all is well. There are Muslims, there are atheists who are gold and silver. The gospel is not about your gold and silver. The gospel is about the lordship of Jesus. You know, what did we believe? Romans 10 says, do not say we will go up to bring Christ down. We don't say, verse 8, we don't say we will go beyond to bring you from the grave. This is what the word is near thee, but in your mouth, the word of faith which you preach. Verse 10 says, you what? You believe in your heart, right? And you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It says, because with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made of salvation. Romans 10, verse 8 to 10. And so it says, we confess the Lord Jesus. That's how to get saved. That's how a man gets saved. You confess the Lord Jesus. For example, see the way I'm preaching of this morning. But it doesn't sound like what a vibrant youth should be hearing. It's a vibrant youth. Our generation is not all these mess men now. If this is what you call mess men, when you have a whole lot to assemble, you are scattered. Hallelujah. Because the gospel is not sugary. It's a message of blood. You know, someone had to pay with his life. Not only Jesus, you know, when he now gave the message, many people have actually paid with their lives. You know that teaching, lessons from Deborah's song. You know, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Many people have died for this gospel. They say, what are you doing with the gospel? You confess the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3. He says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And he calls that salvation. And so at salvation, what we actually confess was what? The Lordship of Jesus. Say the Lordship of Jesus. Come on, say the Lordship of Jesus. So, sound doctrine has to be endured. The gospel is not a lollipop gist. It's not, our service is, I don't know, it's just sweet. It was just so sweet. Next week, our service. You can't believe. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Okay? That's what you learn in church, to be an entrepreneur. What kind of church is that? The church is the ground and pillar of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Is the place where the truth of Christ is taught. 1 Timothy 3:15. The gospel is not, there are places to discuss your business, not the church. It has gotten so worse that churches are watching Champions League final. Is it that we have lost the vision? That's a lollipop gospel. It's a lollipop gospel. Champions defined. So you pray before the, I don't understand. I don't get the gist. We are the champions. Is that a psalm? That's a hymn. Bam, 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 bam. The champion. Now your pastor too, see that? That's shame. When men are dying. And some people you call yourself Christians with also, they are on the mission field. Preaching. And you boldly sat down. Cross leg. Not in your house. In the church. As my people call. That's shameful. The gospel is not lollipop. Write that down, you'll know very well. The gospel is the message of the Lordship of Jesus. So salvation is to reckon with the truth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. That's salvation. I know somewhere what many want to hear over and over again. But salvation means that you have reckoned with the fact that Jesus is Lord. No, he is Lord. He is Lord. Amen. So because your sins are forgiven, which is the message of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 to 4, Paul explains the gospel. He said, after Christ died, 1 Corinthians 15, 3, was buried, he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Ephesians 1 verse 7. He says, we have forgiveness of sin through his blood. Colossians 1 14, the same thing. Colossians 3 13. You know, he says, if anyone asks God among one another, he says, forgive, even as Christ has forgiven us all. We have forgiveness of sin. By the gospel, right? But because we now have forgiveness of sin, we now do the pleasures of him that wrought the good work. We now follow his manner of life. And so, look at Romans chapter 14. We were there last week. Romans 14. Learn something? Huh? Alright. Romans 14. Verse 7. We'll read from verse 7 to 9 together. You there? Alright, where to go? We've removed Romans 14 from your Bible. Alright, where to go? For none of us live unto himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live, we are the Lord, we live to the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord. Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both. So, Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord of both the dead and the living. How did Jesus teach the gospel? Or how did he preach it? How did he teach the kingdom of God? How did he preach the kingdom of God? You know, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus. Typical of what people do these days. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, "Thou, we know that thou art a teacher from heaven." John chapter 3, you can turn the Bibles there now. So we know that thou art a teacher from heaven. And because no man can do all this work, all these miracles. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We are so used to not opening Bible. When the scripture is called, you open. You are a Christian. You didn't come to watch show. This is not cinema. You say, but I don't feel like opening. You feel like open. You feel like, thank you. And so, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, we know that that was a teacher from heaven. That was when he came at night. You know, he doesn't want to be identified with Jesus. He's still keeping part of the world. You know, those times where, remember in the secondary school, school fellowship. You don't want to see you as a college spirit coco. Eh? So, the guys, the upping guys are somewhere playing ball Friday afternoon. But the fellowship is already by 1 o'clock. Eh? But you don't want to let your guys not say, you're getting fellowship. I remember GS2. And so, I was going to chapel. I was burning out. And one of the guys said, you two are going to chapel, you have joined them. I said someone. So I told back. I said, no, I'm just gonna buy something. Yeah, but you are wearing chapel clothes. But you have white and white. Tell me you are wearing chapel clothes. No. Yeah, my clothes are dirty. They are dirty, so you have to wear white. And I joined them. We're playing cards in the dormitory. So. Nothing, like the happening guys, yes. It's funny how some SS3 guys even think that they're happening guys now. Someone in SS3 bouncing. I was almost eating me. You know when I left secondary school? Hey, you are just lying in your head. I had my results over a decade ago. More than a decade. I mean the results first. You see, you are just lying in your own. Should be sued. You know, and as a student, you feel like that. And so you don't want to go to chapel. You don't want to go to fellowship. Just, you know, there will be poor. But I remember one day, way more later, probably in SS2, I was already preaching. And so, I was going to fellowship again. Normally I wouldn't go because I used to preach, around, school fellowships there, in the Ibadan.
So I wouldn't go.
What? This day, I didn't have any fellowship because I decided to go to my school. So I was going. So I said, you think you're a good fellowship? I said, who do you think I am? I'm not like you. He was like, you know, that moment when the hunter becomes the hunted. I said, I'm not like you. So you're godless and profane. I used to be. So you're godless, you're profane, day, and you're going to hell. He said, so, go to fellowship. He knows that now. And look, there's a tendency that you might want to keep the world, one hand in the world, one hand with God. You still believe that there's a God. You still believe in what He wants you to do. But, you know, the pleasure of Joseph, Nicodemus came at night. Alright, so, Nicodemus came at night, and he began to say many things. But Jesus called the story short. He called the gist. Now, give me verse 3 together with me. Where to go? Jesus answered and said, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Read verse 5. Jesus answered unto him, I say unto you, unless a man is born of water and the spirit, he cannot what? And so, look at Jesus' approach to Nicodemus. He talks about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Because by saying kingdom, you have brought in the concept of rulership. And so Jesus says, except a man be born again. Again, would Nicodemus have been born again at that time? Huh? No. Because the Holy Ghost was not given. What it means to be born again is for the Spirit of God to now dwell in you. Ephesians 1:13. It says, after you believe the Holy Ghost, the promise was, you are not seeing the Holy Ghost, the promise. The same thing in Ephesians 4:30, Galatians 4:6, and so on. You know, so, because the Holy Ghost was not given, Jesus was not given by John 7:39. So, what Jesus was telling you was possible, but not available, right? Possible, but not available in the four Gospels. And that means, Jesus took the opportunity to preach. And in preaching, he now says, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. They are the same thing. Don't mix things up. He was explaining the difference between kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. That's not needed. Same thing. They're like, hey, mercy, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God. You think it's the same? It's different thing. But if you have itchy ears and you like tables, just come on, you want to bring out your explanation out of everything. So Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven. He preached the kingdom of heaven. In Mark 1:15, he taught the kingdom of heaven. Mark 1. You turn your Bibles, all your Bibles, get used to it. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So, look at the way Jesus taught the gospel. Repent and believe because the kingdom is at hand. Because the kingdom is at hand. And now what did he do? And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, both passing, letting the sea, but they were fishes, and Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. We'll get there. In Luke 17:21, he told them that the kingdom of heaven is among you. Luke 17:21. Verse 20 says, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall they say, no here or to there. But behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. It's in the midst of you. So how did he preach that kingdom? How did he preach that kingdom? Now, we have to take some vital lessons. Listen very well this morning. Matthew 19. Let's see the way Jesus preached the kingdom. Matthew 19. When we come to church, we should open the Bible so much. Because that's the church. Hallelujah. I mean, is it the one we should put? In the church, you open your Bible. That's our source. That's the source of our faith, yeah? Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why are you calling me good? There's none good but the Father, but God, if thou will enter into life, keep the commandment, sarcasm. And he said unto him, which Jesus? Yes, sarcasm. He said, thou shalt not murder. If I say quickly, you will not commit adultery, you will not steal, you will not be a false witness of your father and mother, you shall not be a neighbor as yourself.
Young man said unto him, I have kept all these things from since I was a child. I still lack something. Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if you be perfect, go and sell what you have. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. That is, come and follow me. But when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. When Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say unto his disciples, he cannot go to the house of the needy. That the rich man should enter to the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were sitting amazed and said, who can be saved? Verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And many have misused this. And I will explain what it means. Then answered Peter and said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, that if you have followed me, that you have followed me in this generation, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones to judge in the 12 tribes of Israel. And we have 29 together. And everyone has forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, or wife, children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlastingly. The many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so, the young man comes and says, oh, Jesus, what can I do to build your kingdom? And that's a nice question. Good question. And Jesus says, sell all you have. Give it to the poor. You know, imagine telling you, you don't have much, right? You don't have much, but that's nothing wrong. Just like your TV and your bicycle. So, sell what you are and follow me. That is, he went away sorrowful. Sorrowful. And this was the way Jesus preached. Now, does it sound like the typical gospel you preach? If your own gospel has been watered down to lollipop, you just come to church. Just come. See. You don't have to say anything. Just come to our church first. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Preaching like that does not get men saved. It gets them to come to church, quite alright, but they are not saved. Salvation is not coming to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm saying that, let me know very hallelujah. Salvation is to accept that lordship of Jesus. He says, follow me. He says, you, he that will follow me must have left his wife. His brother, his father, his mother. Again, in an instance, he said, whichever will be my disciple, Luke 14. I want to look at that. Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to show you something. Verse 26. Just to tell everybody. Luke 14, 26. You there? Where'd you go? If any man talk to me and hates not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yeah, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Hate actually in that sense talks about preference. Not being irritated or disliking. That's about preference. That is, you prefer me before your life. The same word I will use for Jacob and Esau. Jacob, I love Esau, have I hated. That is, I have preferred Jacob before Esau. And so he says, whosoever shall be my disciple. Now, this is the Lord talking. Okay. Again, being the disciple is what we call being saved. Matthew 28:19. You go and preach, you make men disciples. Matthew 28:19. And so when he says everyone is saved, what you are saying is that you have become a disciple of Jesus. Then Jesus says, whoever will be my disciple must prefer me before his father. He must prefer me before his wife, before his sister. That is, I'll come first. The gospel is actually that Jesus will come first in your life. This might not sound like what you hear every Sunday. That's the truth. It might not sound like someone stroking your head and massaging your feet. But this is the truth. The gospel is actually that Jesus comes first. Jesus comes first. That was the beginning that Jesus comes first. Some of you get to say, but Jesus comes first. And so, he taught eternal life as following me. No excuse. No distractions. No holding back. That's what Jesus taught. That's it. I must come first in your life. Hallelujah. Look at that Luke 14. Luke 14. He was still there. He says the kingdom of God is like a feast. Verse 15. We read verse 15 to verse 24 together. Are you ready? Are you ready now? 15 to 24. Where to go? And when you're going to have the meat, we read him say this thing. Say unto them, "Better is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then said unto them, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time. He said unto them, they were people. Come for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground. I need to go and see it. I paid it, let me be excused." And when I said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to print them." "Excuse me?" And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So the servant came and showed his lord this thing. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in either the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out in the alleys and the edges, and compel them to come in, that their eyes may fear. For I say unto you, and none of those men which were." And he's explaining the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is like a man that has a feast, and he's invited to the feast. And just typical of what we have today, men give excuses. One said, "I just bought a piece of land in Banana Island. Excuse me. I may not be able to follow Jesus like that." That moment where your treasures, where your possessions have gotten your heart, but people cannot preach because you have a car. And so to enter the street is now difficult. He said, "I preach for my car." What kind of evangelism is that? To go and enter your car, now you preach. Yeah, you know the sun. Shut up. I just got the land in Banana Island. So, I should preach, but I'm on the construction site presently. Shame. Yeah, now I just got married. You know, what an excuse. You know, that one, that sounds legitimate. I just got married. Jesus, I'm anonymous. Jesus says, "You come first." Remember, a certain one came to him and said, "Let me go and just tell my father goodbye. Or let me go and bury my father." Jesus says, "No." He will put his hand on the floor and looks back. He's not fit. The gospel is that Jesus comes first. The gospel is that Jesus comes first. Some of us, so Jesus must be Lord in our lives. He's already Lord of our lives. Hallelujah. Lord of our lives. Praise to God. Hallelujah. He's already Lord. But he must now be Lord in your actions. Lord over your plans. Lord over your pursuits. Lord over your will. Lord over the things you do. He must be the reason why you do what you do. So you ask yourself this morning, is Jesus the Lord of my life? Many people actually serve themselves. One person said to me, he said, "Can't I serve the Lord the way I want?" Yeah, I can serve my God the way I want. No, you can't. Well, you can serve him the way you want. Then you are his God. He's not the God, you are the God. He calls the shots. When you call someone master, when you call him the Lord, he is the one that calls the shots, not you. He can serve the Lord the way you want. That kind of God is an idol. He tells you how to serve. He says all things will make for his pleasure. Hallelujah. Yes, yourself. Sincere questions. Is Jesus the Lord of my life? Do you live for him? That's the gospel. Are there three things you are holding on to? Are there three things you cannot let go? If today, just put this on the aside. If today you are called to the mission field, will you go? No, I'm asking a question. I remember the year 29, I met a missionary in Ondo State, Okitiku Basai. Went on missions. I call some people on missions. And then, this missionary is actually a PhD holder. Not BSU. Not BA. Not your BA. Bachelor of Arts. Not a diploma. Not a PhD. I said, out of curiosity. Sir. Because I said, they were calling him doctor. So I thought he was a medical doctor. He said, no. That he was even in the race of getting his professor degree. The Lord called him. From Naples to Rumbo. You know, he said, "The Lord calls me to be in New York." I like the gospel in New York. The gospel in Toronto, Canada. You know, the gospel in Ottawa. You know, the gospel, the nations have been covered. The Lord called him to a village in Rumbo. where he could not even preach in English. Those are the heroes of our faith. Those are the heroes. Not a man that is buying private jets. There's nothing wrong in getting the private jets. But don't get out of that and despise what the Lord asks you to do. The people who brought the gospel to Africa, those are the heroes. And so you ask yourself, is that the same Jesus that is the Lord of the real life? Is that the no. Those kind of people are judgments to you already. They judge you. You don't need to get to the throne of God. They judge you. When I see a man who put his, aside his comfort for the sake of the gospel, then I see who I can become. I see an example for myself. Hallelujah. Praise God. You say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Yes, I have decided. Sing now. Sing like you mean it. To follow Jesus. No, hallelujah. How many times have you now turned back? Well, like, quite a number of times. It's just prayer meeting. There was a movie to watch. This is Aliyah. Game of Thrones. Don't like you don't know. Huh? Aliyah. Morning King. Who's not worried on me? And then there's a prayer meeting. So I say, the way you pray meeting for this episode, you have done that. Ask yourself, is Jesus the Lord of my life? So much he read this in the church. So much. Ask yourself, why do you revere Jesus? You're praising God. He's using camera. So glorious here. We are worshippers. We worship the Lord. We worship in the spirit. In spirit and in truth. Sure. On your Instagram. What is being preached? You're on Instagram. You are liking it. Shame on you. The devil is proud of you. The devil is saying, oh, my guy. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? When do you actually want to start serving him? Hallelujah. Jesus' gospel is that men will now become his disciples. He will come first in their lives. He will be the first thought in the morning. He will be the last thing you think about before you go to bed. That is what it means to be saved. Give me that whole time religion. When men get saved, and you know if you watch the movies, right? When men get saved, as a little child, they will know in their school. Now people get saved, you don't even know they are saved. But their attitude is not different from the 100 generation. The same thing. You put the world with the church, and everybody looks alive. Shit. Jesus was the Lord of the life. Some Christians cannot quote 10 Bible verses. 10. You move down to 16. Which you will still quote wrong. That he knows that something, you don't know what he's doing. One terrible fellow was saying, the Johnson God is it. What's the Johnson God is love? It's terrible. The Johnson God is the love so was the John. Christian. Money. Shame. Can you call verse 15? Shame. It's not a laughing matter. And yet you call yourself a Christian. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Quote 10 Bible verses. 10. The last time you did was only in children's church. And now because your students did. They loaded you. The students that they loaded you with. And I won't get in there. So come this answer that. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? When last did you preach the gospel? When last did you take your Bible and said, I'm going to get someone to believe in Christ today? When last? When last did you pray? Not on food. Even the food on your own. No present here. Amen. And go. Go ahead. When last did you fast? No, not church fast, not conditional fast. When last did you take a personal time? I'm going to fast. You can eat for next year, right? Let me just eat for next year. So you usually eat 3 square meals. That's 9. Shame. Where's your consecration? Where did you put it? Because if truly you have believed the Lord Jesus, then he's the Lord of your life. Secret friends, you listen to 10 or 30 minutes, your membrane is already shaking. How will this one be done? And then you watch a movie, 2 hours long. Who are you serving? You're definitely not serving the Lord. You're serving yourself. You're serving the devil. He says, I'm not 10 minutes. It's not. Don't change. What's going on, man? What's going on? There's nothing going on yet. Pray. We are praying. Those are missionaries. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. But you also, the same thing with this. You can gossip God. You can gossip anybody. Christian, you can baptize a demon. But you pray for 10 minutes. You are sleeping. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Ask yourself. The disciples, they were so consecrated in their service to the Lord. None of them ever called himself a son of God. They called themselves servants of God. And James, a servant of the Lord. And he was the Lord's brother. Jude, the way we read the book of Jude, is the Lord's brother. He's I, Jude, a servant of Jesus. That's who we are. We are sons of God, going to Israel, 1 John 3:1. We are men of God, the Father has given to us that we should be called the sons of God. He said, now we're the sons of God. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:6, same thing. He said, because we're the sons of God, God has sent for the Spirit of the Son. So, Romans 8:14. He said, as the Lord has the Spirit, you are the Son of God. As it says, we have not received the Spirit of bondage, you don't fear. The Spirit of adoption by which we cry, have a Father. We have the sons of God. No one is having that with you. But in that sonship, we now have the responsibilities to live to God. To be examples of the faith. If you don't have anybody who has, you have not got this faith. It's been the right Peter calling you to repentance this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter was so devoted to the Lord that he was consecrated to death. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Show you something. 2 Peter chapter 1. And so, we need to ask ourselves. The gospel he received, was it the lollipop gospel? It was lollipop. Yeah. Go Jesus. And I know you are doing church. What did you learn church today? Say, wow. You can't believe, man. Shut up. If the fire of God's Spirit is actually burning in you, but after every service, you live with the fire to reach more nations. You want to pray more. You want to preach more. Not after every service, you just say, man. Let me just go to the cinema. You didn't have any service. You didn't. You accepted the gospel of the loaves. You know the gospel of the loaves? John chapter 6. Many people have eaten bread and fish. You know? In the church. You guys are eating bread and fish. But many just had to say, I am the bread. You can be the bread. I don't care. The gospel of loaves. The gospel of comfort. Was that what you received? Tell me what you want to. Yeah, I think it meet. As long as I'm in this tabernacle. To stir you up, putting you in remembrance. Can you verse 13 where everybody wants to go? Nay, that shock me. I must put off this my tabernacle. Talk about his body. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus told Peter how he would die. And Peter says, I will do it just as he has shown me. We can be consecrated to death. He is the Lord. We read it earlier, Romans 14, 79. Whether we be alive or dead, we live to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's easy to live anyhow now. It's easy. We don't live anyhow. But I'm enjoying my life. I'm too young. It's happening for baby. I'm too young for all this. I'm too young for all this. But I will now chop the life of my head. I will chop the life of my head. But when I'm 40, I'm telling you, a friend of mine, he's passed on now. So when I'm 40, so I will begin to preach. So, but quite young, we are teenagers. Yeah, no, now. Let's do it now. I wished he stayed enough for that 40. He died 19. There's no postponing to this. The gospel is now. So now is the day of salvation. It's easy to live anywhere now. But there will be a time when every man will be judged. Just according to your works. Not salvation. Not salvation. The rewards. Every man will now stand before God. And now give account for your life. I hope when people are saying, I went to the mission field in Ghana. I went to Malawi. Sudan. You know, I went to Game of Thrones. I went to prison break. Because you actually paid for prison rather. When men are giving account, I say, at a certain conference, 3 million people got saved. I hope you will not give excuses. Oh Lord, Can we go back? He said, no, turn him back. You live your life for him now. Live your life for him now. Jesus is worth the service. No man regrets it at the end. No man regrets it. It's a life worth living. Hallelujah. His gospel is a call to follow him. They call, look at the way he called his disciples. Look at Luke 5. Luke 5. Look at the way he called his disciples. I'm so around that. Luke chapter 5. That's the way Jesus preached. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it comes about the people pressed upon him to hear the word. They stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were going out of them and washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. And he prayed him that he would. So Jesus went to Simon's ship and said, let me use your ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch your deep and let down your nets for a drop. And Peter says, no, yeah. He didn't know that it was Jesus, of course. That's like giving any normal preacher. We have been trying all night. Nothing happened. Don't bother. Then he did as the Lord said. And Simon answered him and said, we are 39 verse 6. When he has done this, a great multitude of fishes and their nets broke. And they began on the partners in another ship. Verse 8. When Simon saw it, what happened? He fell down at his knees, saying, depart from me, I am a sea. See, an encounter with Jesus, he leaves you humble. There's a sobriety that comes with serving the Lord. No man serves the Lord and is everywhere jumping about. There's a sobriety. Now, verse 10. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Simon, fear not. From henceforth you will be fishers of men. Can we do verse 11 together? Everybody wants to go? And when they had brought the ships in line, they forsook all and followed him. They left it all. That's a true encounter with Jesus. They left it all. They forsook all. What are you still holding on to? What? Look at the same chapter, verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, what? Follow me. Can we do verse 28 together? Everybody wants to go? And he left all, rose up, and followed him. That is his gospel. They left all. They forsook all. He left all. Jesus in Matthew 8, verse 34 to 38. He says, if any man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross. Let him take up his cross. That cross is not sickness. No, it's not sickness. That's a wrong interpretation. Let him take up his cross and follow me. Are you truly following Jesus? Are you truly following Jesus? Where is your sacrifice? Where are the things that you have let go because of him? Sometimes it's friends. There are friends I had to do away with for the sake of the gospel. Yes. Because it matters more than any other thing. Sometimes it's dreams, ambitions. I recall a time I was asked to come to the United States of America. I said, come and leave. Visa, I don't have to worry about anything. Not even a ticket fee. I told myself, this is not even a temptation. But at that point, what are you telling me? It's not a temptation. I said, no. There's a gospel to preach here. Can I preach the gospel there? Yes. But there's a way to go. So I've even made it. I said, no. It means God wants me to preach to the nations. No. What he told me was not there. Hallelujah. How many Christians fear such consecration? A woman, a doctor, she goes to all nations of Africa all throughout the year, month after month. And she's been doing so for 12 years. Guess what? This woman asked no one's back. Where's your sacrifice? Are you going to stand before the throne of God with those same people? With men like Charles Spurgeon, Billy Graham, Roman Bunky? Men who have laid down their lives for the sake of the gospel. You're going to stand with Stephen, who was stoned for the sake of the gospel. And why being stoned? He was still preaching. Many of us would have denied Jesus for a cup of tea. Where's your consecration? Is your work having the best of you? Is your academics having the best of you? Some people, even their relationship. Why were you not in church? Your boyfriend came around. Your boyfriend came around. That's foolish. He said that area is dangerous, that I cannot be coming there. Which area? Your boyfriend came around. Not even your husband, though. That's foolish. I'm not making up the statement I heard. Where's the sacrifice for the Lord? What kind of life are you living? He says, let him deny himself and follow me. So upon believing what he has done, we now take up our cross. We now take up our cross. We now preach. Jesus says, those who seek to save their lives, they will lose it. Those who seek to save their lives, they say, I'm trying to lead my career first. He says they will lose it. Again, who comes first? Who comes first? Jesus. That statement saying Jesus is Lord. It's not a cliche. It's not a slogan. It's not an ad line. Just an ad that. Jesus is truly Lord. And when you say Lord, it means you are servants. Are you living your life with the gospel? What shall we put in the mouth? Bring the whole world. And I'm losing the soul. Shall we, what are you using in business for? Calling you this morning of a genuine repentance. Follow the Lord. Serve him with your life. We are willing for him. Sometimes the road is long. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes men even despise you, laugh at you, mock you. But you know, Jesus is worth it all. What's a life without him? What's it? What's life without him? A vapor in the wind, yesterday, gone tomorrow. What's it? But you know, no matter how long we live here, eternity is longer than now. If you like me, 1,000 years on the earth, you will discover that there are great less times you find without an hand. And that time, you will give account for your life. The gospel according to Jesus is the gospel of following him. The gospel of forsaking the whole, putting him first. It's not your hip-hop. Maybe I call you to rededicate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Might not be the usual thing you do every time. But you can rededicate yourself. Today can be the beginning of your serving the Lord. When you actually lay all aside and focus on him. Focus on what he wants you to do. What he wants you to do part time. He makes his will your will. He makes his plans your plans. But sometimes we are calling God to bless our plans. But he has his own plans and they are already blessed. So you just work on them. It's all things are made for his pleasure. How are you living your life? The voice to us this morning is follow me. And I'll make you a fisher of men. Follow me. Follow me. He said, follow me. This world is truly empty. It's poor. It's a poor world. All the riches you see today, they pass. Hallelujah. The reigning car in 1989 is not the reigning car now, right? You must have even seen that. If they dash you, you are going to press the button and dash you. Why are you giving me this? But then, it was for the rich. This world is empty. But the gospel and the life that's lived for Jesus is of eternal value. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's joy and fulfillment in serving the Lord. There's joy. Don't live for gold that perishes. Don't live for gold. Don't live for gold. Live for Christ. Let him be the one that determines what you do. Again, if it's been a while you preach the gospel, then something is wrong. As I said, I want to tell you that. It's not for pastors. It's not for the spirit cuckoo. Yes, you are kana cuckoo. It's not for the spirit cuckoo. It's for every Christian. That man will fulfill what the prophet said. That the heads will be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea. May you and I have the responsibility to Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gospel according to Jesus is what you hear and you forsake all. Is what you hear and you forsake all. Knowing that he is worth the world for you. The gospel according to Jesus is not some tea party. I recall those times when you go to church, you cry. How many times you cry? I can't how many times you cry because there's a fire lit up in your spirit. Sometimes you sing in the world and you cry, but now the singing has become entertainment. Yeah. Let's do it. Don't throw the baby with the bathwater. True, yeah, there's knowledge, there's insight, the more. There are some things that are worth more than gold. You cannot let them go. Our consecration, our devotion, our love for the Lord, the things we do for Him, the way we live for Him, even in an adulterous generation such as this, we live for Christ. Let Him be glorified in your life. Let Him be glorified in your body. Let Him be glorified in your spirit. Let Him be glorified in your actions. In the way you do what you do. And how you go about your life. Why not choose today? To say, I will live for you, Jesus. No matter what men say. No matter where I find myself. Even if you find yourself as the only person in the nation. Everybody is preaching to you. You are just the only person. You choose to live for Christ. Many Christians are ashamed to carry their Bible. Shame carry your Bible on the street. But I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I've done the copy of the unashamed. From James to Stephen to Paul to Peter to everyone of them who laid down their lives. I will live like those ones. The unashamed of the gospel. There is a power of God and salvation. I will live my life now. Whether everybody decides to even go the other way, let turn them back here. May the Father, Spirit of God, bless me with this. I can swear my life on this. This journey is forever. Jesus forever. His work forever. What He is doing in the earth forever. And so you dedicate yourself. Are you living the gospel? When you believe in us, you lead the gospel, you preach the gospel, you now live for the gospel. Are you living for the gospel? That woman wasted a alabaster box and poured it all on the Lord. What was precious before became nothing of value when she saw the Lord. What are you saying unto? It's time to walk in the light as He is in the light. It's time to turn around and make a decision for the Lord. It's time to start a journey of many decades in preaching and teaching of God's word and living in your life for Him. Until you have believed the gospel, then you will live for Jesus. Don't just die as a prayer. Let's pray for yourself.